ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18, Text Number 39. I believe that text number 40 is on the board. I'm pretty sure. It begins with Ko? Yeah. K-O. Okay. We will read text 39 through, and then we will go on to the verse on the board. Oho atendaya ramo yoshin mayeha mayaya vihita cheta kripana patishe narake dhruvam. Kashyapa Muni thought, "Alas, I have now become too attached to material enjoyment. Taking advantage of this, my mind has been attracted by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a woman, my wife. Therefore, I am surely a wretched person who will glide down toward hell." So we'll go on to text 40. Kindly repeat. Kaha atikramaha anuvatantyaha. Svabhavam iha yoshitaha dhik mam bata abhudham svaate yat aham tu ajita indriyaha. Koti kramo nuvatantya svabhavam iha yoshitaha dhinman bata buddhaṃ svarte yadaham tvajitendriyaha. It's described that by the loud chanting of the holy names, we can drive away all unwanted things. So similarly, these verses are non-different in one sense from the holy name. So if we want to drive away this whole section of Bhagavatam, it's not dealing with driving away women or men, is driving away the attachment within our hearts of identifying them as objects of sense gratification. That is Maya. The consciousness of that this world is for my pleasure is Maya. That's what at least one who wants to be a devotee, become Krishna conscious, is, would like to become free of that mentality. So the loud chanting of these verses helps us to be released from this bondage of this world. So please, with all your heart and your tongue, chant these verses. Koti kramo nirvatam tya sabhavam iha yoshitaha dinmang bata budang svarte yadahang tvajitendriyaha kotikramo nirvatantya svabhavam iha yoshitaha dinmang bata budang svarte yadahang tvajitendriyaha kotikramo nirvatantya svabhavam iha yoshitaha dinmang bata budang svarte yadahang tvajitendriyaha kaha what atikramaha offense anuvartantyaha following svabhavam her nature iha here yoshitaha of the woman dick condemnation ma'am unto me, butta, alas, abuddham, not conversant, svaarte, in what is good for me, yut, because, aham, I, too, indeed, ajita indriyaha, unable to control my senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. This woman, my wife, has adopted a means that follows her nature, and therefore she is not to be blamed. But I am a man, therefore all condemnation upon me. I am not at all conversant with what is good for me, since I could not control my senses. Purport. The natural instinct of a woman is to enjoy the material world. She induces her husband to enjoy this world by satisfying his tongue, belly, and genitals, which are called Jiva, Udara, and Upasta. A woman is expert in cooking palatable dishes so that she can easily satisfy her husband in eating. When one eats nicely, his belly is satisfied. And as soon as the belly is satisfied, the genitals become strong. Especially when a man is accustomed to eating meat and drinking wine and similar passionate things, he certainly becomes sexually inclined. It should be understood that sexual inclinations are meant not for spiritual progress, but for gliding down to hell. Thus, Kashyapa Muni considered his situation and lamented. In other words, to be a householder is very risky unless one is trained and the wife is a follower of her husband. A husband should be trained at the very beginning of his life. And this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking. He's giving some indications to his school friends, very young boy. Kumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. During the time of brahmacharya or student life, a brahmachari should be taught to be expert in Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service. Then when he marries, if his wife is faithful to her husband and follows him in such life, the relationship between husband and wife is very desirable. However, a relationship between husband and wife without spiritual consciousness, but strictly for sense gratification, is not at all good. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that especially in this age, Kali Yuga, Dampatye Biruchir Hetu, the relationship between husband and wife will be based upon sexual power. Therefore, household life in this Kali Yuga is extremely dangerous unless both the wife and husband take to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Om jnana timrandasya gananjana shlakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Hare Krishna, I beg your kindness and your blessings that we may speak a few words which may elucidate on this topic, which is, you could say, is the continuation of a discussion for some time in the Bhagavatam. Panchagoda Prabhu, Hare Krishna, I hear you're leaving today, is that correct? You're leaving for America, following in Prabhupada's footsteps. Yeah. We wish we could have had more of your association. I apologize for any offenses committed or whatever, Shirdi Prabhu also, and other senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis here today, and all the devotees. We offer our humble obeisances to all of you, and whatever body we're in, this topic is sometimes a little bit sensitive and a little bit difficult for us because we're not necessarily transcendental. We may not have realized our constitutional positions. For those who've realized their constitutional position, it's not a subject matter which is of any, let's say, cause of concern in terms of one's own reception. Cause of concern that others are identifying with the body. The basic problem which we face when we discuss the relationship between men and women is not a gender problem. It's an identity crisis. Can anyone hear? No? Can you hear? No? No. Can you hear? At the back, can you hear?
Yes.
Okay. That's the actually interesting, because that's the solution to cure the identity crisis. The identity crisis is we think we are the body. We think we're men and we think we're women. This is the basic disease of material existence, isn't it? It may sound strange to those who have no exposure or understanding of anything beyond that, and that's understandable. We apologize if it causes any irritation, but this is the subject matter is really ultimately geared towards this, and this is the purpose of human life, to realize who we are. And if we identify with that body as being me, be it a man or a woman, we're in for trouble. We're in for trouble. Even if we're calling ourselves devotees. Because how do we get this particular body? How did you get it? Okay, your mum gave it to you. Well, maybe more than that. We go back a little bit. Where do we get it from? Why have I got a man's body, or whatever, and someone's got a woman's body, or whatever species it may be? Why? Why have we got it? I'm speaking a little bit basic here. Why have we got it? Is it by chance? Desire and what else? Desire and
karma.
Very simple. Are we really men and women? How do you become a woman? Or a man? How do we become that? It's explained on many occasions that because we were attached to a woman in our previous life when we left our body, we take birth as a woman. So are you a man or a woman? Neither, in material terminology. Ultimately, we're all prakriti. That's basically the underlying understanding of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? That everything is the energy of Krishna. He's the Purusha. He's the enjoyer. So whatever condition we're in, the point is we may want to do as we wish, but as this verse mentions, that Kashyapa Muni is condemning himself. He's not condemning Aditi, his wife. Maybe you've not been here for a few days, but if you have been, you'll know what the situation is, that she has pleased him with her womanly charms, and he's become open, as we do when Maya attracts our attention, our doors open, and yes, very nice, yes, Maya. So he's ready now, what do you want, what can I do for you? And lo and behold, she asks for something quite unbecoming and disturbing for him. She wants a son who will kill Indra, so not a very nice thing to ask for, but he's not blaming her at all. He's blaming himself. Interesting. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from this subject matter here. One is, don't get so hung up identifying with the body, because if we realize we're spirit soul, it's not such a big issue. And another is the blaming factor. In this world, there's a tendency, as we heard the other day, I'm not sure who was giving class, I remember someone giving class the other day, it may be Mukunda Prabhu, I can't remember, one to what he was speaking, and explaining how, or discussing how, the tendency is to blame everyone. Yeah, it was Mukunda Datta Prabhu. But not to blame maybe Vishnu. In this case, Aditi is blaming Indra, although it's Vishnu who killed her sons. But we blame everyone else for our problems, except for one person. Maybe we blame God also. I've heard devotees blame everyone they could think of, and they still weren't satisfied, and then they went to Krishna and blamed him. Even Prabhupada. If you run out of people to blame. But who don't we blame? Huh? Ourselves. We're the last on the list. I'm right. It's not me, it's them. It's the men, it's the women, it's the government, it's the guru, it's the this, it's the that, it's Maya. Everything. We don't like to blame ourselves. There's a secret. It's a wonderful little secret in Krishna consciousness. Don't blame anyone else. Not that we should go, you know, paranoid and become some psychotic wreck by blaming ourselves. But we, you know, with a little bit of intelligence, we have to understand we are where we are because of man is the architect of his own fortune and misfortune. We're responsible. To become responsible means to take that responsibility. It's not to establish one's rights, so to speak, according to one's unfortunate material condition, but rather to take responsibility for one's situation and to act responsibly. Kashyapa will act, although he's maybe up to now he's condemning himself, will act a little responsibly, and we'll see. Now we'll read something. I'll read first from the Gita, if we can. And this is in the second chapter of the Gita, contents of the Gita. Very basic. Text number 60. The senses are strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. We try as we may, and still, you know, we're very conditioned. I can't speak about your conditioning, but my conditioning is such that, you know, we're brought up, Prabhupada describes it in many occasions, how specifically in the West, what we call the Western world, how we're brought up, educated in, basically, in sense gratification, isn't it? You're trained up, basically, to enjoy the senses, more or less. Okay, there's some education, maybe in India still there, a little bit of good education in terms of knowledge, real knowledge. Knowledge of who we are, what is our identity, and so on. Who is God, and what have you. Something, a little bit. But basically, we're educated like that. Well, here we hear Prahlad Maharaj is 5 or 6 years old, and he's emphasizing to his schoolmates that don't waste your life playing ball. You know, you should utilize this valuable human life right from the beginning. You know, people waste their lives away. And then when they die, they're attached to this material world, and they have to take birth according to their attachments and according to their karmas. The purpose of human life is to bring this to an end, to bring this material world to an end, to get free of this attachment to sex life. Sex life is the greatest bondage in this world. Forms a great knot, Hridaya Gantaha, in the heart, which binds the living. Sex life, sometimes people get the understanding of it's just the actual act of sexual intercourse. It's not. Is the very concept or the attitude of seeing oneself as the enjoyer. And that more or less includes pretty much everyone. All species of life, even persons who are materially considered good or even a little bit spiritually mature, still see themselves as the enjoyer. Maybe we're trying to enjoy the spiritual life too. And it could, in the beginning, that's the case, we will. But ultimately, a devotee is not interested even in enjoying that. His only desire is to serve Krishna, to see Krishna pleased. Anything short of that is a degree, you could say, of sex life. It manifests in its full-blooded form, we could say, in the actual act itself, when lust becomes uncontrollable. And we've all been subjected to that. I'm certainly no exception to that rule. Being brought up in a society where that was a status symbol, as Prabhupada's mentioning here in the 12th canto, chapter 2, text 3, a description is given there of the symptoms of this age, and it's basically measured according to how potent one is in sex life. And people even show it off, they advertise it. I mean, what can we say? I don't want to get into the graphic details. When we were young, we did get into the graphic details. It's literally a daily affair. If it wasn't for Prabhupada, I might be that pigeon up there. I wouldn't be that one. I'd be in London, pigeon in Trafalgar Square, probably. Right? Most likely. Sex and drugs. That was the goal of life. That was what we lived for. A daily indulgence. What type of civilization are we living in? When we talk of these things, when we hear these things in the Bhagavatam, This Bhagavatam is spoken to human beings. It's spoken to men. It's spoken in Naimisharanya. You won't find one single lady there in Naimisharanya, not in physical form. They're all men. Because men have this responsibility in the world. They're not doing it. They're irresponsible. They're not taking their roles. And neither are women. It's both ways. But men's role is to protect. Men's role, protect, is not just a question, Hari Bol. It's not just a question of physical protection. It's protecting the wife from becoming victimized by the modes of passion and ignorance which tend to affect the women. Affect everyone in this age. Again, we're back to the point we're not men or women, but in this age of Kali, we're not even men or women. Even if we think we are, we're more like animals. We're more like animals. Uncontrolled senses. We're not guided. Men and women are guided by Shastra. Human beings are guided by scripture. Animals are not. They're controlled. Their senses are controlled by nature's arrangement accordingly, some more or less. See the monkeys, they're very close to the humans practically. It's every opportunity. Pigeons, some of them, almost every opportunity. Other species at certain times of the year. It just according to material nature, it comes. They're not really responsible. And here it's understood that it's the nature of a woman to want, not necessarily the sexual act itself, sometimes, but the extensions of that home, material facilities, comfort, protection, affection, all sorts of different feminine expectations. Again, it's not so much a question of the body, it's a question of the characters, the characteristics. Feminine characteristics, male characteristics. And the feminine characteristics, we've heard from, and Mukunda Dattaprabhu was also talking about that the other day, and some of them sound pretty horrendous, and some of them are really good. And the same with men. It's the nature of this material world. And we ought to try to understand that the purpose, if we're in a particular situation, animals have no way that they can engage in religious acts. They're controlled by the stick or by nature. In human life, we're supposed to be controlling our senses according to Shastra, Guru Shastra Sadhu. And according to our position, whether we're in a man's body or a woman's body, there are different directions which will be favorable for us to get free of this bodily identification of life and become thus free, because we identify with the body, therefore this sexual expansion takes place. To become free of this sexual, say, inclination or this sexual drive, and channel that energy towards Krishna, that desire to see Krishna pleased. He's ultimately, the Adiras, the original sexual pleasure, is there in Krishna. And our business is to be a part of that, whatever part it may be. But it's to satisfy Krishna's senses, Krishnendriya. But as we see in this verse here today, Ajitendriya, I think it was in today's verse from the Bhagavatam, I've covered it, but I think it's there, I may be wrong. Yes, the last verse, here it is. Unable to control my senses. We have to become jitendri, not agitendri. We're agitated. The word agitated, agitendriya. We're agitated. We have to become jitendriya. We have to control our senses. Prabhupada's talking here about eating. How eating, and of course in general, it's not always the case, but in general, the wife is very expert at cooking, and that's one of the main attractions for the man. You satisfy the man if you cook nicely, and it's one of the ways of winning his heart. You make what he wants, not what you want. Krishna conscious like that. We do what Krishna wants, not what we want. So that's the whole idea. The Shastra is what Krishna wants. And whatever our concoctions are is what we want. To establish my identity. You know, this, that, the other. But Krishna is helping us to free us from this identity by giving his instruction, how we can act in such a way in a man's body or a woman's body so we can actually get free of this diseased condition of life. Get out of the bodily concept altogether. Realize we're not this body. We're all eternal spirit souls. It may take a little time. For those who are conditioned, yes, we have to follow these scriptural injunctions. They're a must. But we have to know which ones are relevant to our particular situation and not imitate. Srila Prabhupada writes in Ishupanishad, he said, Ishupanishad warns us to play the part designated to us by the Lord. Whatever we've got is the gift of God. We have to learn how to utilize it according to his direction, not according to our lust greed and anger, or whatever it is, common, you know, common opinion. We have to follow what Krishna says. We have to play the part designated us by the Lord, and not, Prabhupada said, not to imitate others. Play our part, then we can get free. Don't try to imitate. It may look good, we may think, oh, now I've got what I want, but we won't be happy. You can never be happy in this way, trying to satisfy our senses externally. They're strong, they're impetuous. They overwhelm us, they drag us down into hellish, more and more hellish conditions of life. So the process is to engage our senses properly. Nibandha Krishna Sambandhi Yukta Vargama Uchite Varagya. To engage them, this is actual renunciation, is to not to engage our senses according to our whims, but to utilize them more under the direction of Guru, Shastra and Sadhu in the service of Krishna. Nowadays, people, I was reading an article by Archana Siddhi Devi Dasi the other day, an interesting article. It was called Viagra or Vairagya. Now, if you know what Viagra is, you know what that is? It's a drug. And what is it for?
Increased sexuality.
Yeah, it stimulates your sexual drive. Viagra. Now, it's funny. Do you know what that word means in Sanskrit? It comes from the Sanskrit root. I don't know if they realize it. It means to be strong like a lion. That's what it means. Strong like a lion. Krishna has one dog also called Viagra. They want to be strong like this, so they can enjoy, even in their old age. It never stops, huh? Prabhupada said when he was in Paris, he saw 80-year-old men going into the, you know what, a naked dance, paying a lot of money. They can't even do it, you know, but they're still mind, they're still set there. So what do you want? You want Viagra or Viagra? Want to be a Vairagi or what do we want? What did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? What's that verse? I've forgotten it. Yeah, I'll read it. Memory. Getting old, I tell you, when you get old, you forget everything, don't you? Famous verse, one of the key verses of our movement. Lord Chaitanya talking with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Vairagya Vidya, who knows it, huh? Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. I won't read it all. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He is descended because he is an ocean of mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. He's come to teach us Vairagya. The people are being taught Viagra, how to enjoy their senses more and more. The opposite, almost the same word. Vairagya means detachment. And that's the purpose of human life. To become. And how are we going to become detached? Very hard, huh? Very difficult. Senses are very difficult to control. In the next verse, one who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. The secret is to fix our consciousness on Krishna. How do we do that? Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayor. With Chanksi Vaikuntha Gunana Varnane. Maharaj Ambarish describes that we've got to learn to engage our senses 100% in the service of Krishna. Every single sense. Everyone. Even the tongue. Even eating. Prabhupada's inferring in the purport. Eating. Before we honor, not take, some say take or eat, it should be honor. Before we honor prasadam, what do we say? Hopefully. I don't know if you do or don't. A lot of places they don't do it anymore. They come in after it's over so they don't have to say it. You sit down and eat and then start complaining about it. Hey, I don't like this. This is nice. Hey, give me more of that. Hey, I like that one. Whoa. I'll say it now so you don't have to say it when you go for breakfast in a few minutes. I said it yesterday, I don't have to say it again. Meditate on the meaning. 90% of the words probably don't know what it means. No one ever says it in English anymore. Very rare, maybe a few places. Hardly ever, isn't it? No, in Bengali, you know, because it's a Bengali verse. But those who don't speak Bengali, it's a foreign language. You know, it's just, you know what it means. And it's, for a newcomer, it's just like, before we honor prasadam, we say, doesn't mean anything. Of course, the sound vibration is purifying, we could say. It's nice to know what it means, to meditate on it too, you know. Why are we honoring prasadam? Is it just so we fill our belly and agitate our genital? Satisfy our tongues? Hopefully not. We have to eat, one of the necessities, you could say. But we're really not eating for that. Why are we eating? Why did the devotees eat? The Prabhupada said one time, we don't eat. You're eating, no eating meat, but you're eating. I saw a sign, it was an amazing thing. We were in Philippines at this program in a village a few weeks ago, some village somewhere, right out in the middle of nowhere in the Philippines. And we were doing Food for Life. And I saw this, I've got a picture on my camera, it's amazing if I can remember it. It said something like this, it said, I can't remember it all, if I think carefully I might, but it said, thousands of innocent vegetables are being killed every day by vegetarians. Stop the cruelty, eat meat. That's what it said on their t-shirt. Have you ever heard anything like that? Incredible. I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but that was I can't remember every word, but that was the basics of it. Stop the cruelty. Thousands of innocent vegetables are being killed every day by vegetarians. Eat meat. I mean, it's pretty short-minded, but anyway, it just shows the mentality of some people. But we don't eat, Prabhupada said. We honor prasadam. Even if you do analyze it, well, you guys are killing cauliflowers. You're killing, you know, potatoes, innocent potatoes. Prabhupada said, no, we're honoring. We offer it to Krishna. We honor prasadam. The more we honor it, the more Krishna will reciprocate and release us from the, let's say, the negative aspects. Try to honor prasadam. It's such a wonderful... I mean, we were reading yesterday from Chaitanya Bhagavat when Mother Sachi Devi, and the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvipa after taking sannyas. She was preparing unbelievable preparations. Every vegetable, she made at least 20 different varieties of each vegetable. Each vegetable, and there are hundreds of different types of vegetables. And it was amazing. Lord Chaitanya circumambulated the shack, the green leafy vegetable, offered his obeisances to it. Anyone who takes this, honors this shack, will go back to Godhead. It's just, we don't realize how fortunate we are, how Prabhupada has given us this gateway, no matter whether men or women. The process is exactly the same. Don't get hung up on all these sidelines. Don't get hung up on all the sidelines. Concentrate on the application of taking the medicine, hearing and chanting about Krishna, honoring prasadam, here in Vrindavan. What good fortune. Prabhupada especially emphasized many times in lectures how here in Vrindavan we shouldn't behave like monkeys, hogs, just here to eat tasty dishes and to make some relationship with some opposite sex partners or whatever it is. We're here to cultivate, to release ourselves from this bondage in this material world. Whether it's our attachment to a man or a woman, unfortunately, time goes very fast in our what we see as Vrindavan. And real Vrindavan is eternal, but it goes real quick here. We don't have much time, I'm afraid. I'll just read one or two more things and then we'll have to cut out. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we see here, in the very beginning, this question of nature. Krishna describes in the beginning of this chapter how we have to follow our nature. Everyone has to follow their nature. Here is it described, I don't know, I haven't got the reference. And then he goes on, a whole section describing how important it is to follow one's nature according to scriptural injunctions. We act according to our nature, following scripture. And then Arjuna asks a very interesting question. He asks a question just towards the end in text maybe 36. What does he ask? Who knows? Who knows what Arjuna asked Krishna? Text chapter 3, text 36. A little bit earlier than that. Yeah, 36. Arjuna says, what does he ask? What impels a man to act sinfully, even if against his own nature? And what does Krishna say? He says, Arjuna says, it seems even unwillingly, as if forced to. And what does Krishna say? It is lust only, Arjuna. Kam esha krodhi esha rajaguna samudbhavaha. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion, later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the world. Lust only. And he goes on, really nice verses there at the end of the third chapter. What is lust? And that is what, the whole chapter is emphasizing, for those who are not transcendental, to follow their prescribed duty, to act according to the varna ashram, or whatever we may call it, their nature, call it what you may, and that's the dharma in this world, to act accordingly. And Arjuna was thinking of not acting according to his nature. And Krishna is now saying that it's because of lust, Arjuna, that you don't want to fight. Basically, that's what he's saying. You don't want to do your duty. It's because of lust. Different degrees of lust. And the Lord goes on, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied, and which burns like fire. The more we try to satisfy it, you all know what happens. Like pouring paraffin on a fire, it goes down for a moment, and then it burns even more. It's the nature of this world. Where is it sitting? In the mind, the intelligence, and the senses. Therefore, O Arjuna, O best of the Bharats, in the very beginning, curb this great sin, symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay the destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So regulation, niyama, yama, controlling our senses according to Shastra. That is the point. Just like in the Nectar of Instruction, the very first verse, I'm sure you all know that. How does it go? Nectar of Instruction, first verse. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udara pasta vegam. To control our senses, right? But it says tolerate. Prabhupada translates it tolerate. He didn't say without. He says tolerate. Learn how to tolerate these pushings. How do we tolerate them? Is it just holding down there and putting tying something around the mouth so you don't talk nonsense, eat nonsense, breathe nonsense, putting some chains around the waist, putting some ropes around the belly? Is that what it means? What does it mean? Huh? Pardon? Yeah, engaging. The whole purport probably just talks about that, isn't it? How to engage these senses, these pushing senses, in Krishna service. That's how, not only are they then thus not engaged in acts which cause us to move towards hell or whatever it is, but they actually awaken our Krishna consciousness. That's what it means to surrender to Krishna at our stage. Is to whatever condition we're in, to learn how to best utilize that in Krishna service for his pleasure. And we hear that from the Guru Shastra Sadhu, not from our own mental concoction or whim. We hear it from the right source. And that's the process of release. That's how we get released. Just like you get released from a prison, not by establishing your own supremacy within the prison. I'm the best prisoner. No, by cooperating and following the prison authorities. And when we do that, then the government releases us. So that's what it's there for, to give us that opportunity. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. There's so many wonderful purposes. So you can read it, third chapter, text 37 onwards. And it really helps to remind us and give us the strength, because when we hear it from the right source, we get strength, because the words are coming from the pure devotee in Krishna. Just like these statements about the position of women, what it helps to free us from that bodily identification, even though it may be a little bit painful. Medicine is sometimes a little painful. You know, when you get the injection, I've ever had a tooth pulled out. You know, nowadays they stick the needle in there. Yeah, it's horrible. And they pull your tooth out. It's a relief. Freed from that attachment. And we want to get out of this world. I was going to read a corollary section from the Bhagavatam, but time doesn't allow, which more or less coincides exactly with this particular section of the Bhagavatam, and in a very wonderful way, how nobody can be free of this attraction, this world. Only Lord Narayan, Narayan Rishi, Lord Narayan, is free from this attraction to the opposite sex or to sexual life. Nobody. We have to pray for mercy, beg the Lord for His mercy to protect us from the the clutches, the maitunya agara, the bondage of this material world. Intelligent persons, yodana jasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryakataratim. With sword in hand, intelligent persons cut the labyrinthine or the reactionary knot of karma by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to His messages? So the subject matter of just exposing ourselves to the sound vibration of the holy name, to Krishna Katha, to honoring Prasadam, to associating favorably with devotees, engaging ourselves under the shelter of our authorities in devotional service, keeping fully engaged, evokes the mercy of Krishna and releases us from this knot, this maitunya agara, Prabhupada describes in the purport there, this knot which we're all bound up with, of identifying with this world. Well, I'm sorry we haven't got time to read it, but you can read it yourself. It's the third canto if you haven't already read it. And over the last few days, I haven't heard it. Chapter 31, text around about 37 onwards, that section. Chapter 31, Lord Kapiladev speaking to his mother, Devahuti. Wonderful instructions. It's all for our benefit. Hare Krishna. So any questions? And to go to Prabhu. Pardon? Chapter 31. Thank you.
Since the devotees are going to Agni Prasadam, could you translate in English the prayer?
The prayer. I'm going to look it up a minute. Oh my Lord, this material body is a lump, we used to say lump of ignorance. It's a place of ignorance. And the senses are networks of paths leading to death. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. It's very difficult to control the tongue in this world. It has two functions, yakking away. It yaks and it eats. It speaks. We like to talk, and then we like to eat. Talking, he got it, was a very busy sense. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most difficult and voracious tongue, difficult to control. But you, my dear Lord, my dear Krishna, have given us this nice Krishna prasadam just to help us to conquer over the tongue. So now let us take this prasadam, yes, to our full satisfaction, and in so doing, glorify the Lordships, Sri Radha and Krishna, and call upon the help of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So beg for their mercy. Glorify Radha Krishna. Call for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and honor Prasadam. Pay your respects. It's the mercy form. It's Prasadam means mercy. It's Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Wonderful way to serve Krishna. Is that okay? Okay. Anything else? Stomachs are rumbling. Any other questions? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.